Good morning. You're watching Deprogram with Ted Rall and John Kiriakou. Robbie West is in and out today because his tummy is not feeling too good. So we're sorry about that, Robbie. So anyway, thanks for liking, following, and sharing the show. We're here Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Beginning tomorrow, supplementally, we will be doing an exclusively question and answer show. So that'll be Wednesday, 12 noon tomorrow. Again, next week, Monday and Wednesday. So that's the deal, going from 5 to 7 hours a week, which I'm looking forward to. So today we're going to be talking about this heinous new law, John, that's just been passed by the Knesset in Israel and is very likely to be signed into law by Benjamin Netanyahu, that basically restores the death penalty by hanging in Israel, but only for Palestinians, not for Israeli Jews.
Lovely. Right. But Israel's not an apartheid state.
No, not an apartheid state at all. Basically, it's lynching. We'll get into that. Spain became the latest country to join France and Italy, not allowing its airspace to be used for the U.S. to attack or support the attack against Iran. A fully loaded Kuwaiti oil tanker was fully set ablaze by the Iranians in the port of Dubai. If you look at the video, it's pretty impressive. But they did manage finally to put it out for environmental reasons alone. I'm glad they did, but holy cow. It looks like now the powers that be in official Washington are sort of getting a clue that Iran is winning and that they're trying to lure the U.S. into a ground war.
May I interrupt you on that, Ted?
Please.
There's a report that came out less than 5 minutes ago. I've got it right here. The Iran National News Agency, INN, says an IRGC spokesperson, Brigadier General Ali Mohammed Naini, said that Iranian missile strikes killed members of Israel's military intelligence. Iran reportedly fired dozens of missiles at the headquarters of the Israeli military intelligence agency, Aman, considered the backbone of military intelligence collection.
Wow. Yeah, if true, that's a big deal.
There's video. I have no idea if the video is real or if it's AI, but this is what the Iranians are reporting.
All right, we'll follow that. And if anybody hears anything about that, put it into the chat. Please, by the way, put in your questions into the live chat if you're watching on Rumble or YouTube live in the 9 o'clock hour Eastern. We have some leftover questions from yesterday. We'll get to those first thing. We'll also any Q&As questions that we don't get to today, we'll kick into tomorrow. And then everything gets asked during the Q&A. And of course, obviously, it'll be a live chat, and Q&A is basically anything that you want to know, anything. Ron DeSantis signed a bill officially proclaiming Palm Beach International Airport will be named the President Donald J. Trump International Airport. We'll be talking about that, and also the Presidential Library. You see the pictures with the big red, white, and blue penis up on top. Very exciting. And the giant flag. I mean, oh my God. It's ridiculous.
And two golden statues, not one. Two,
you got to have two, and of course, copying the Reagan Library with an Air Force One in the lobby. John, the thing about that, that library thing is sort of like people online, Republicans are posting comparisons of it to the Obama one in Chicago, and they're like, "Which one's better looking?" I'm like, "Neither. They're both awful.
Why do people insist on this either or all the time? They're both awful.
Both." Yeah, it's like we can get together. We can have bipartisanship on shitty architecture.
Yeah.
All right. So let's. I guess should we knock something off and then do some of the leftover questions?
Absolutely.
I mean, we can start with Israel. I mean,
yeah, let's do that. This is sickening. So the Israeli Knesset, as you pointed out, has passed this law calling for the death penalty by hanging, but only for Palestinians who are convicted of taking a life during the commission of a terrorist act. But of course, it's the extreme right-wing government in Israel that decides what meets the criteria of a terrorist attack and what doesn't.
And this would, by definition, not apply to West Bank settlers who attack and who are terrorists, who are terrorizing and attacking Palestinians who are locals in order to, just to get rid of, ethnically cleanse them, and in many cases to steal their land.
Yeah.
Their celeb Ben-Gvir was photographed, videotaped, toasting this passage of this law with champagne. He said, this is a quote, "We will count them, the hanged Palestinians, one by one," he said, while laughing.
Yeah.
This is a bloodthirsty government. John, at this point, nobody can question that it's an apartheid state, because even apartheid South Africa didn't have a separate legal code for whites and blacks. On paper,
that's exactly right.
It was an egalitarian society. It was just in practice, they had apartheid. In this case, this is they're codifying racial and their discrimination within the areas in their control. And I know what they're going to say is, well, this applies not to Israel proper; it applies to the West Bank. But that's sophistry. They've controlled this territory since as long as you and I are alive.
And it specifically exempts settlers who kill Palestinians from coverage. So if you're a settler, you're just some guy from New Jersey who goes to the West Bank, opens fire on some Palestinian family, you're good to go. But if you're a Palestinian who shoots the guy from New Jersey to protect your home from being seized by these American settlers, you're hanged.
Nice country. So the death penalty was abolished in 1954.
Yeah.
The only exception was Adolf Eichmann, who was
correct,
in 1962. And so basically, I don't know how they justified that, just by saying, well, war crimes are different or whatever. Because if there's no death penalty, I don't know, maybe he was tried not under Israeli criminal law, right?
Yes. I
guess. So basically, this is a country that's kind of been a small L attempt. There's been a strong tradition of small L liberalism. The whole kibbutz movement is a socialist movement. I mean, there's no left at all. There's no moderate at all. This is a far, far right. John, how is anyone going to still, in the United States, how are the Zionists going to be able to continue to defend Israel? I mean, I know they'll try, but how are they going to do it?
They will. They'll try. But it's going to be one of those disingenuous things, Ted. How can you possibly defend something like this?
It's disgusting.
Can you imagine?
Equal justice under the law is absolutely, how can you claim that you're a democracy, if the only democracy in the Middle East, if you don't have equal justice under the law?
That's right. No, there's just no upside to this. There's no way to defend it. There's just no way.
What do you think is going to happen when they start hanging Palestinians, which they will? And by the way, this is a mandatory sentence, John. Like, if you're found guilty of this offense,
death.
They're supposed to hang you within 90 days. There's a few provisions for a slight delay, but probably not to be granted in most cases. No clemency is possible, right? So later, also, if it turns out that the person's not guilty, got to do the scare quotes for that. There's no take backs. It's not
So when you're dead, you're dead. That's the end of it.
So how on earth are the same people who criticize Iran for hanging political dissidents, how are they going to be able to criticize, defend the Israelis? I mean, it's the same thing.
I can actually easily see how two camps. First of all, right wingers on Capitol Hill. You know, they view the death penalty as legit punishment, and that it's better. Let me rephrase. It's less bad to kill an innocent person than to allow a guilty person to live. Okay,
I view it exactly the other way around.
Exactly the other way. I'm with you. That's the one hand. On the other hand, among Democrats, I think that the most ardent Zionists among the Democrats are going to say, well, you know, terrorism, we don't want another 9/11. We don't want another October 7th.
Or they'll just be like, la, 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 la. Yeah, I can't hear you. They just won't comment on it.
Sure. Sickening. Absolutely sickening.
And then I guess we could talk about Spain, because that's a pretty quick thing to get out of the way. So Spain is pissing off the right and the Trump administration by not allowing U.S. Air Force to aircraft to cross. Apparently, that's a pretty big deal because traditionally Spanish airspace has been.
I don't know if Ted is frozen or if I'm frozen. Actually, can somebody let me know if Ted is frozen? Somebody in the chat? I would sure appreciate it. This thing has been happening. Yeah, Ted's frozen. Okay. Okay, Ted's frozen. All right. Thank you. John's good. When we were getting ready to go on the show for like 20 minutes beforehand, I froze three times. You know what? So I'm going to take this. I'm going to take an opportunity till Ted comes on of saying that we got both Ted and I got an email from Scott yesterday saying that he believed it was a mistake to focus yesterday on that issue that was happening. And I wanted to say thank you for that email, Scott. And your concerns are duly noted. And I have to say, in retrospect, you're probably right.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that, too.
Yeah, I don't. I'll be the contrarian like usual. I mean, you'll go after my friends. I'm going to go after you.
Now, but we should have been talking about the issues yesterday, though, too. Well, I will admit that after the show, when I was replaying the show in my mind, I was thinking, oh, that was kind of a pity party for John and Ted. We probably shouldn't have done
and
that.
It's not, yeah, it shouldn't be about us. It really
no,
should be about
it should be issues. About the news.
That's well, true.
I'm going to push back again because Ted knows, well, Ted's frozen again, so yeah, it is what it is. No, it's John frozen. Are they both frozen?
No, I'm here. John's frozen.
Awesome. We're just going to rotate. So I'm picking my gut.
Go ahead.
So I'm puking my guts out, and the two of you are taking turns freezing. This is going to be a great show. So, hey, I'm back.
There we go.
But no, I mean, seriously, here's how I look at this. This is your show. And when I'm talking about you, I'm talking about you, the viewer. This show would not exist without your being here. Your donations, your watch hours, the people tune in every single day and watch. If it was not for you, this show would not exist. And so you, all of you, have a vested interest to know what is going on with the hosts of this show, the attacks that they go through. Y'all all know what happened to me back in November. How is this any different? Serious question.
You're right.
If anything, it's worse because they're spoofing phone numbers from people that you know. They're spoofing your phone numbers that this guy was. And if you're butthurt, because we address this issue, that's a you problem. That's not a John and Ted problem. And for once, it's not a Robbie problem either.
Yeah, it's like, how about just engage, instead of harassing people who you disagree with, which frankly, I don't do, John doesn't do, Robbie doesn't do. Like, it's like, you know, look, there's lots of venues just like this one that you can use to express yourself and prove and, you know, make fun of us and show how we're wrong, right?
And at the same time, we really did report this to the FBI yesterday.
100%.
We really did report it to the two carriers, AT&T and T-Mobile, and they're on it. Like, yeah, everybody's it on it.
Someone said, by the way, several people said, like, oh, I thought John didn't like the FBI.
I don't, except when they work for me. And they work for me, I'm a taxpayer.
Yeah. I don't like the FBI either. I don't like – John and I both talked about it like, oh, man, I hate to involve cops. Cops. I'm not one of the, you know, if you see something, say something. If I see something, I don't say anything. But, you know, sometimes it can't be helped.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
All right, Robbie, you have some housekeeping.
Yeah, let me get this out of the way before I go away again. So if you send me a super chat that we miss, knowing the donation amount is nice, but I don't really need it. Really what I need is the question. If you send me the donation amount without a question, I don't know what question it is that you're trying to ask. So really that's the biggest thing. And also, John now has a official TikTok.
Yay.
He twisted my arm. He said, Robbie, I want to get on TikTok. I'm like, no, you don't want to go on TikTok. He's like, yeah, I do. So He now has a official TikTok at official John Kiriakou. They're on TikTok. So he's there and he's on Rumble, and I will be working on fluffing out that content all this week and just blasting stuff out. So go follow.
Also, I'm still on Cameo. I'm happy to say I had lunch on Friday with the CEO of Cameo. He came into town just to have lunch with me because I set an all-time record for the number of cameos done in the month of March. And there, I'm third all-time in cameos already, behind only Brian Baumgartner, Kevin from The Office, and of all crazy people, George Santos.
What a rogues gallery.
Wow. So listen, if you want a cameo, just go to cameo.com, type in John, just type in John and I pop right up, which they thought was hilarious.
That is hilarious.
And I tell you who I passed to be number third, and he sent me a cameo congratulating me, was Johnny Sack, Vince Curatola from The Sopranos.
Oh my God.
He's like, John Kiriakou, Johnny Sack here. I'm a big fan. He says, you've dethroned me as the number three on Cameo. So now the both of us are in the Cameo Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
That's awesome. All right, Robbie, that's
it. Awesome. I love it.
We got everything covered on your end.
Yep.
All right, Robbie, I'm going to let you go back.
But y'all come over to Rumble. Come hang out. Weather's fine. And the page board.
Happy nausea. Okay, we'll see you.
Oh, and also, can you tag my TikTok in the chat so people know which one is actually mine?
Yep, I'll do it.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay.
Okay, back to the news.
I don't know if I'm going to follow you over to TikTok. Probably not. Okay, so Spain, we got interrupted. How important is this story?
I think this is very important. Yesterday, when we talked about Spain closing its airspace to the U.S. military, we also predicted that other countries would follow suit. And now other countries are following suit.
Italy.
Yeah. Italy today said France is next. Yes.
Well, Ireland, France already said so.
Oh, France already said so. Mm-hmm. And Ireland is, you know, it'll happen today. So, you know, Donald Trump, too, has been so hypocritical about this. On the one hand, he said, you know, screw NATO. We don't need NATO. We don't like NATO. We don't trust NATO. We threatened to invade Greenland, and Greenland's owned by Denmark, which is a NATO country. Screw NATO. And then on the other hand, he's like, why isn't NATO helping us? Well, wait a minute. You just said we don't need NATO. Screw NATO. Now you're lamenting the fact that NATO is not helping us. First of all, you never consulted with NATO.
Exactly.
You never
got them on board.
Yeah. We never went to the NATO countries and said, listen, we're going to invade Iran, and so we're going to want your help. Never said a word. We just did what Netanyahu told us to do, and then we're self-flagellating over the fact that NATO doesn't want to jump in and fight our war for us.
I don't understand this administration's seeming complete disinterest in buy-in, you know, whether it's domestically or internationally. They don't feel like they need to get anyone else involved, and they want to go it alone, and yet they want everyone to help them out. That's the part I don't get at all. When I want to do something on my own without, you know, my friends or family's approval, I just, you know, I do that because I don't need or want their help. Why would Trump think anything different?
Yes, I have to agree. You know, there are going to be some NATO countries, Greece being the most obvious, that are going to carry Israeli water. This is something that I'm ashamed of as a dual U.S. Greek national. The Greeks are doing it strictly for the money. Greece historically was the closest European country to the Palestinians. All the various Palestinian groups through the 70s, the 80s, into the 90s had representative offices in Athens, and the PLO had an embassy in Athens. And then as soon as natural gas was discovered under Cypriot waters, and the Cypriots and the Greeks needed help to lift the gas, and the field stretched all the way to Israel, and the Israelis jumped in and said, hey, not only will we help you lift this gas, but Turkey's our enemy, and Turkey's your enemy. So why don't the three of us huddle on this? And the Greeks have been in bed with the Israelis ever since.
Sad. As Trump would say, hashtag sad. Christian Banks, let's ask, do some of these questions. 2656, thanks for the $5. Was a Trump reelection the only shot at sparking a socialist revolution by exposing the U.S.? If Kamala won, we'd have been pacified by quote-unquote democracy. Hashtag anarchy. Look, I would love to see a socialist revolution. Nothing would make me happier. But I don't think we are in a pre-revolutionary moment. I think we're in a counter-revolutionary fascist moment. I'm about to write my column probably later today for this week. And I think we are officially entering what Robert Paxton would officially define as a fascist state. It has been like, we're in danger, but we're not there. But I don't think that's true anymore. Oh my God, John. Oh, there's John. Okay. John.
I don't know what the heck is wrong with my connectivity today. I'm like the signal strength has blown the doors off the place. I'm plugged right into the wall with the Ethernet cable.
But it's not stable though.
It's not stable. I don't understand it.
All right, so let's in terms of that question, if Kamala had won, we'd have been pacified. That's true. We would have been brunch Democrats would have prevailed. Thanks for the $9.99 this is so embarrassing to say, from Brady. Okay, so the question were thoughts. This is for you, John. Thoughts on James Fishback.
I got in a little trouble with James Fishback last time. So somebody asked me about James Fishback 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I said, I saw the guy on Tucker and he made a lot of really great points. And I said, if you're in Florida and you're a registered Florida voter, and you're going to vote in the Republican primary, take a look at James Fishback. And within seconds, somebody blurted out on X that I've endorsed James Fishback.
Oh, no.
And the next thing you know is there are pictures of James Fishback with Nick Fuentes and with the Tates. And all of a sudden, I got burned. I will say James Fishback, I like James Fishback's position on AIPAC and on political support for Israel. I like it very much. I think he makes a lot of sense. He's polling under 5% in the Florida primary. He's very young. I think he has a future, a political future. I think he needs to drop the likes of Nick Fuentes and make a name for himself. Mm-hmm. On the issue of Israel, I like his position. I don't know about his other positions. I'm not a Republican. I'm not an alt-right. I'm not a conservative in any way. I'm not endorsing James Fishback. I've never endorsed James Fishback, but I'm interested to watch that race.
John, two breaking pieces of news. First of all, that Russian ship containing 730,000 barrels of oil has arrived in Cuba.
Yep.
Why did the Trump administration agree to that after, is it another taco moment? What's going on?
The Iranians are kicking our asses right now. We can't risk both the Iranians and the Russians kicking our asses at the same time. I think that's really what it comes down to.
Would the Russians have attacked us militarily?
I doubt it, but I think the Russians could have made things difficult in a whole bunch of different ways if we had tried to block this shipment of fuel.
The truth is crazy as it sounds.
Well, the U.S. Embassy is going to be a recipient of that fuel too.
Well, that's funny. my take is that if Cuba collapses now, the U.S. is really going to have its hands full because it's going to have to create some kind of law and order regime involving U.S. troops down there, right? To try to keep things from falling apart too quickly. Also,
yes,
U.S. This is from Reuters. They always have. They've been doing a lot of yeoman's work lately.
Oh, they've been terrific the last few weeks.
U.S. counterterrorism officials are planning a summit targeting Antifa and the left in general.
What the fuck?
That's why I have my French passport renewed.
What? I have been telling my friends and family members that I intend to buy a condo in Athens by the end of the year. And then about a week ago, a little business opportunity popped up. And I thought, you know what? I've got a couple extra dollars for the first time in 20 years. Maybe I'll think about this little business opportunity and put my money there instead. No.
No. The house is, yeah, you can do business. Business comes and goes. Personal safety is forever.
Yeah.
Tariq, thanks for the $2. On a lighter note, 12 tons of Kit Kat bars, I remember that, I read that, were hijacked en route to Poland.
Yeah.
Nestle had to publish a presser. What's the world coming to? John, also, what nobody's talking about is not only is all that chocolate missing and the truck, the driver's MIA too, but nobody seems to care about that.
Unbelievable. It's like Tucker Carlson's entire shipment of chewing tobacco disappeared a couple of weeks ago. It's like millions of dollars all packed into an 18-wheeler. It's probably being sold out of the back of somebody's trunk in Brooklyn.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. I used to see that all the time. I bought a TV that way out of the back of someone's car one time.
And my dad bought my mom a fur that way.
The same dude sold me the first Public Enemy like bootleg tape. So obviously there was some sort of connection there. By the way, it's highly collectible and very good. Raul Dabru, thanks for the $4.99. First of all, thank you, gentlemen. The show has found me at a perfect time in my life. What would be some advice you would give a new father? I love that question.
Oh, that's a great question. In fact, it's a question that I've answered at least a dozen times on Cameo. May I start?
Please, you have five.
I have five kids. The advice is for your wife. Tell your wife to sleep every time the baby sleeps. Okay. The baby's going to be up like only 4 hours a day, right? But those 4 hours are in the middle of the night. So tell her to sleep every time the baby sleeps. The laundry can wait. The shopping can wait. Make grocery delivery your friend. Don't worry if the house gets a little, you know, dirty. It needs to be vacuumed. That's what grandmothers are for when they come to help. So tell your wife to sleep at every opportunity. You should sleep too, but do whatever you can to backfill what needs to be done in the house. Treat her like a queen. She needs kindness right now.
That's all 100% correct. My advice would be, and this is for moms too, the marriage comes first. The kid comes a very close second. But the marriage has to be first because that's what's holding it together for the kids. I think a lot of American parents don't do that. They put their kids first and their marriage second, and then they end up miserable, tired, and divorced, and it sucks.
That's right.
A weird Monday. Thanks for Hogs Candyland. Thanks for the $5. A weird Monday becomes Crash Out Tuesday. I don't know how this ends. Thanks for the reply on X, John. Made my day better. Jackson McGrath, thanks for the $5. John, I bet Ben Shapiro will still say Israel isn't apartheid. And Ted, I have ADHD, and people call me the R word, but I give you the pass. And hi, love you, Rob. Thank you. Manchild 5000, $2. Thank you. Good morning. Is there any thought to whether Iran or their proxies are planning symbolic or high optics provocations specifically timed to coincide with Passover? If so, they deserve it, in my humble opinion.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. Yeah. Both sides do that.
Yeah. That's like routine.
Yeah.
And symbolism is very important, especially in the Muslim world, right? Bugs and Clowns, thanks for the $5. Hey, guys, John, I've never heard you speak in Greek. I would love to hear it. Thank you for all you do, and have a great day.
Thank you. Ήθελα να αγοράσω ένα διαμέρισμα στην Αθήνα. Αγαπώ την Αθήνα πάρα πολύ από τη Θεσσαλονίκη. But first of all, Veronique Delphi, thank you for the $9.99. Why Athens over Thessaloniki? Athens, since the first time I saw it, I fell in love with the place. And it was kind of a shithole city in 1985 when I went the first time. And having come from Rome and having seen this gigantic difference between Rome, which was pristine, and Athens, which was covered from top to bottom with graffiti, I still fell in love with the place. Why over Thessaloniki? Only because of ease of travel. I absolutely love and adore Thessaloniki. It's one of the great cities of Europe. It's clean. It's friendly. There's a ton of stuff to do. The housing prices are a fraction of what Athens is. And Athens is one of the cheapest places to live in Europe. But Athens is just so full of life. There's so much action. It's a 24-hour city. It's a magnificent place for music and art and food. And you're a hop, skip, and a jump from anywhere, whether it's by boat or by plane. I just love the place. And I want an apartment that has, I don't care if this apartment is 100 square feet. I want an in-your-face view of the Parthenon. And that's what I will have.
Maybe you'll be the new U.S. ambassador to Greece, and then you will have such a view. DJick, thanks for the 99 cents. Sam Adams, thanks for the 4.99. So curious to ask, John, in your executive briefings, how often would Chamber of Commerce business names be mentioned?
Frequently. Okay. Yeah, frequently. Yeah, I'm not sure if I should say more than that, but I will tell you that many, many times I've been down there at the Chamber of Commerce headquarters.
CatQuest 1999, thank you so much. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for what you do, and thank you for that. DJIC, thanks for the $1.99. Additionally, John, did you like Obama before the prison stuff?
I liked Obama for a minute. My ex and I went to the inauguration in January of 2009, and almost immediately he announced a continuation of the Bush foreign policy. You know, he said the right things about withdrawing from Iraq, but the foreign policy was decidedly neoliberal. I mean, freaking Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. When we've got some time, I'll tell you the whole Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State story.
Okay.
But it's my support for Obama lasted a minute.
Yeah, I was skeptical. I voted for Obama. I was highly Obama skeptical because he had run against the Iraq war. And then I checked his voting record in the Senate, and he had voted 6 out of 6 times as a senator to fund the Iraq war.
That's exactly right.
And I was like, that guy's full of shit. But I also thought we really needed a first black president, and it was 250 years overdue. So I regret that vote, though. I wouldn't have voted for McCain, but Deb's Farm, thanks so much for the $20. Last week, John thought the government shutdown was over. But then the House came back with their own version. What do you think about this?
Right. You know, we should have mentioned that on Monday, and we ran out of time feeling sorry for ourselves. So, I mean, the conventional wisdom here in Washington was, okay, the Senate passed a budget for TSA. The House is just going to fall in line, and then the president's going to sign it. And the Republicans in the House rejected it. I think everybody in Washington was surprised by this. And so Donald Trump moved some money around, signed an executive order, which I think he's actually not allowed to do because the money hasn't been authorized.
No, he's not allowed to do that.
He's not allowed to do it. You can't do it. But then what's going to happen? Somebody's going to sue him. It's going to take 6 months. By then, everybody's forgotten about it. And it's overtaken by events anyway.
But isn't he going to regret this? Because now there's no pressure on the Democrats at all. The long lines have vanished at the airports. Mm-hmm.
So the Democrats won.
Are sitting pretty.
Yeah, the Democrats won on this.
Yeah. Porsche John, $5. Just bought my first house with my wife and just wanted to share the blessings with y'all. I think John's chances of a pardon are good. It's the year of good things for guys named John. Let's hope so. Sparrow, thanks for the Australian $2. Saudi monarchy being an OSS MI6 placement?
No. I don't think so, because the Saudi monarchy was a result of a civil war between the Al Saud family and the Al Rashid family that took place in the 1920s and 1930s. Mm-hmm. OSS wasn't even a thing until the start of the Second World War. And the CIA wasn't a thing until the passage of the National Security Act of 1947. So I don't think so. Besides, that was all seen as the British area of interest.
APAC test dummy, thanks for the dollar. How or who stated the term hate crime? John, I'm doing this from memory, but I think this started in the 1980s. I think it came out of the left. It came out of the Democratic Party. And the idea was that, you know, racial bias incidents should be punished more severely than, you know, like if you kill someone because you want their money, it shouldn't be as serious as if you kill someone because you don't like the color of their skin. For the record, I fucking hate the idea of hate crimes as an idea. You know, if you kill someone, you've killed them. Why you killed them is, you know, part of the theory of the prosecution, but it shouldn't be, it shouldn't affect the punishment, in my opinion.
Yeah. Ted, the term hate crime emerged in the United States in the mid-1980s, coined by journalists, civil rights activists, and advocacy groups, especially the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, to describe
which used to be a legitimate group.
Which used to be a legitimate group with a it lovely headquarters building. Yes. It was used in 1985 and 1986 to describe a surge in attacks against Asians, Blacks, and Jews.
Yeah, okay. So, hey, my memory's not failing you.
No, you hit it on the head.
Huxlex, $5. Are you aware that the former Shah publicly soured on Israel before his ouster in 1979, possibly the reason for him being deposed? Well, it probably didn't help him to stay in power, right? But I was aware of that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, in fact, there had been an Israeli embassy in Tehran, and it was downgraded to an Israeli interest section by the time the Shah was overthrown.
So it probably – do you think that the main effect there was that he had less access to intelligence cooperation with the Mossad and therefore knew less about what was going on?
Yeah, I do.
James Kelly, thanks for the $5. Do you think the new law is because they're losing power, kind of like how the Nazis fast-tracked mass killing before they were overthrown?
That's a good point. I hadn't considered that.
I think it's part of it. I think it's also like when a country is spinning, is going down the toilet, and they just stop caring what everyone else thinks. You know, they're so isolated. They have their heads so far up their own asses and they think like, we're all alone. We can't count on anyone. We have to do things our way. It's the logic of radicalization.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a huge mistake from a Zionist point of view. You know, the Zionists' biggest problem is that they're perceived as being like cruel maniacs. This isn't going to help.
I have to agree. No, this is just going to piss people off.
Trent Sung, a member for 3 months. Guys, it's free content for us. Look at the views. All right. Thank you. Tobby, thanks for the $7.99 Australian. John, have you met with anyone with remote viewing ability? And can you confirm if it's real? And do you have any stories about it?
In my experience, it was not real. It was something that the CIA...
What is remote viewing?
It's being able to like move things with your mind or implant ideas in other people with your mind.
Like telekinesis.
Yeah, like telekinesis, ESP. The CIA very much wanted it to be a thing because they wanted to try to use it against the Soviets, but it never amounted to anything. And they studied it since like 1950, from 1952 to 1975.
Was this part of MK Ultra?
Yes.
Awesome. I love that shit. It's so weird. Okay. 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 Morshed, thanks for the $5. What do you think about Bangladesh's new government that is not pro-India like the previous one? Well, we see an influence war there between India and China.
Yes. You know, interesting thing about the Bangladeshis. I've always been very interested in Bangladesh for a couple of reasons. Just as background, 3/4 of the country is 10 feet above sea level or less. And so they have these awful typhoons almost every year, and thousands of people get wiped out. So why do they not go to higher ground? Because there are among the world's most poisonous snakes and man-eating wolves that live in the higher ground.
Awesome.
What, you know, John, country?
Do you remember, like, Bangladesh, like, I think this was about 30 years ago, when they were kind of like, it was kind of identified as like ground zero for climate change. That, yes, because they're so low, yes, they were all going to be flooded away. And at one point, there was even a scheme where Bangladesh's government was negotiating, yes, with both India and Pakistan to relocate their entire populations, yeah, either to one or the other. And they were asking if it was India and Pakistan were both saying, we might be willing to take your whatever 300 million people or whatever it is, but we want an extra vote at the UN so we can outvote the other one, Pakistan outvoting India, or India, although I'm like, there's 211 member states. So, but do you remember that? It was like a bizarre, like, episode.
Yeah,
and of course, now it's kind of like, well, you guys are just live there with the man-eating wolves.
I had a teacher, Mrs. Polino, in 11th grade, World Cultures. She had been a CIA officer, which I didn't know until I became one, and she told me she was a CIA officer. She retired and went back to Newcastle, Pennsylvania, and taught high school. But she used to say all the time when we were studying the United Nations that every country in the world gets one vote except the Soviet Union, which gets two. And that was true because, mm-hmm, Ukraine SSR had its own vote, mm-hmm, as if it were its own country for all those years. And nobody could ever explain why.
What do you think? So do you think, Bangladesh, which used to be East Pakistan, mm-hmm, might have a rapprochement with Pakistan, thus altering the whole balance of power in South Asia?
Enough time has passed where they haven't been in each other's hair. I mean, we're talking about 55 years now. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised. Relations with India are good. Relations with Pakistan have become much better. And Bangladesh has weathered a lot of real political upheaval, mm-hmm, over the last 10 years, with the operative word being weathered. I think, mm-hmm, that they're in a much stronger political position now than they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And maybe they can start calling some shots.
Gringo, thanks for the $5. Hey, John and Ted, hope you're having a great day. Wondering what you thought the best way to learn Arabic is. Well, don't ask me, ask John. Also, what other languages are most prominent in the Middle East these days to learn?
Yeah. Well, Arabic, of course, by far is, mm-hmm, the most important.
It's the lingua franca.
You can learn, it is, and you can learn any one of the, 19 different dialects.
Farsi might be useful.
Farsi would most definitely be useful. And Farsi is far, far easier to learn because it's an Indo-European language, and Arabic is a Semitic language. It used to be so hard. I made this recommendation just the other day. Somebody asked me. Rosetta Stone is outstanding. Duolingo is even better. You can do it on your phone. But what you really need for a language as difficult as Arabic is you need a human being with whom to converse. Mm-hmm. And so think about the local community college. You can take an Arabic class for a couple of $100 and have a human being teaching you and a human being with whom you can have a conversation every time that you go. So take a look at Rosetta Stone, take a look at Duolingo, but check out the community college.
Very cool. John, thanks for the, sorry, Super Telfa, thanks for the 1999. John, are you familiar with Wasfi Tal of Jordan? Do you see another country having a leader like him? Who ordered his assassination? Was it the CIA or the King of Jordan? Ted, can I make an impact without a platform in the States?
Wasfi Tal, that's a, Wasfi Tal was the prime minister of Jordan. He died many, many years ago. It was like in the 60s or the 70s, to the best of my recollection. He was charismatic. To tell you the truth, I always believed it was the Palestinians that killed him. Mm. There was this period from like 1968 to 1975 where the Palestinian, the left-wing Palestinian groups really believed that they could take Jordan. Mm-hmm. They could overthrow the king and take Jordan. Officially, it was Black September that killed Wasfi Tal. It was Black September that was actually fighting on the steps of the palace to kill King Hussein too. Literally on the steps of the palace. And I think it says a lot that he was buried in the royal cemetery, despite the fact that he wasn't royal. Mm. That's the level of respect that the royal family had for him.
Can you make an impact without a platform in the States? Yes. Yeah. Just look at the Iranians and their AI Lego videos. They're making a massive impact in the United States. With the internet. Holy absolutely. Shit. You don't have to be here. Sir Sethley 499, thank you so much. Ted, do you know Aaron Magruder? I used to. And can you convince him to come out of retirement? That I doubt. He's like the Avatar. When the world needed him most, he vanished. Aaron Magruder was the creator of the comic strip and TV show Boondocks. And in my opinion, he suffered from having too much success at too early a young age. He was launched in syndication in his mid-20s with hundreds of newspapers. For most cartoonists, that's something that even back in the heyday of print media would take years to build up a list like that. He got too much money, too much influence, too much power. Things came too easy. And I think he burned out. And I don't know what he's up to nowadays. But Aaron, if you're watching, call. I'd love to catch up. Waterways, thanks for the $5. Hey, John, following up since another fan asked, any plans to join Stavros Halkias on his podcast, Stavi's World? It may be a lot.
I'd love it. I would love to do that. If you know him, please introduce us.
Trip D, this is a follow-up to yesterday's bullshittery. Thanks for the $4.99. Ted and John, if someone has access to your phone contacts and can turn on and off things on your phone, then there's malware on it. Factory reset. I can do that.
Just okay, thanks. Thanks
for everything
that.
Up in the cloud and just do a factory reset.
Yeah, I do.
By the way, your phone runs faster after you do that.
Do you have to physically reload all of your apps one at a time?
No, they should just all come right back.
Okay.
If you have cloud storage, make sure you have a backup before you do that.
I'm looking at Stavi Halkias. He's right here in Baltimore. There's got to be a way to get in touch with him. I'll reach out.
Truth, the Dark Truth AI. Thanks for the £5. Hey guys, John, what do you think? Greece and Albania. What do you think? Will Greece and Albania be a second Israeli state? All these lunatics buying properties in both countries.
You know, this is a thing. The Israelis are buying up Greek, Cypriot, and Albanian real estate faster than anybody else in the world. And I've mentioned a couple times online, or not online, on the show, I've been watching Athens real estate for a long time because I've been thinking about buying for a long time. And the prices have doubled in less than 10 years. The prices have doubled since the start of COVID, and it's all because of Israeli, Russian, and Chinese real estate speculators. But the Israelis aren't buying it just for investment purposes. The Israelis are buying property just in case things turn to shit in Israel and they have to bug out. And that's especially true in Cyprus. They're buying vast tracts of land in Cyprus, not just apartments like they are in Athens.
Seek the truth. If we ever ran for president, which party would we run for and who would your VP be? I really hate how the DNC screwed Bernie Sanders, in my opinion, is the reason why we are where we are. It's a big part of it. Well, obviously, I would not be able to run as a Republican. Yeah.
But I couldn't run as a Democrat either.
That's my problem.
Yeah. You know what? I think that the Libertarian Party is not a true Libertarian Party. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of a mainstream Libertarian mm-hmm. Party. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Libertarians and the Greens ought to join together.
I'd be down for that. I would choose you as my VP. That way we'd have total Gen X ticket.
That would be fine.
Hey guys, will you ever have Mehdi Hasan on the show?
Oh, absolutely. Why not? In fact, I've met him a number of times. I've been on his show, and I've got a friend who's very close to him. I could get his number.
Robbie, make it so, please. Okay. Thanks, Vilmar Nair, for the $5. If Universal Taco happens, then what does it mean for GCC? Would Bahrain regime collapse and Iran just become richer and military power, more militarily powerful?
The United States will never, ever permit the Bahraini government to collapse. Never. We're joined at the hip with the Bahrainis. Bahrain is the headquarters of the Fifth Fleet. And, you know, Admiral William Crow, who used to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under Bill Clinton, Admiral Crow came out to Bahrain when I was there. He had been the commander of CENTCOM, so he lived in Bahrain for 2 years. I was his control officer, so I spent the whole week with him, and I took his wife carpet shopping and all kinds of stuff. That was a weird experience. I took her carpet shopping like all day, and then I dropped her off at the ambassador's residence, and I said, Mrs. Crow, I'm going to be back in 2 hours. I'm going to go home, take a shower, shave, put on my suit, and come back for the dinner. So I go back. I go home. I shower, shave, get dressed. I go back to the ambassador's residence, and I go in, and she says, hello, I'm Shirley Crow. And I said, yes, ma'am, I'm John Kiriakou. We spent the entire day today together, and I did your negotiating for the carpets that you bought. And she says, of course you did. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? I spent literally the entire day with her. Anyway, Admiral Crow said, and this is a quote that every Bahraini knows and every Bahraini quotes and every American ambassador quotes, pound for pound, Bahrain is the best friend to the United States in the world. And the Bahrainis love that. And it's true, pound for pound, because Bahrain is the size and same population as Pittsburgh.
Ounce for ounce.
Yeah, ounce for ounce. So we will never, ever allow anything to happen to Bahrain to upset the apple cart.
I think also this question kind of suggests where, you know, that Iran will suddenly become richer and more militarily powerful.
The Iranians would love nothing more than overthrowing the Bahraini royal family.
But in the long run, I think Iran's going to come out of this, much better off. But they're going to have to go through some really dark times between now and then. Basically fending off the Israelis and the Americans.
That's okay. Right.
We have a few ads here. Still haven't tried 1775 coffee? Now's your shot. The 1775 starter kit just dropped. Only 1,000 units. You're getting the bold dark roast that hits hard, the smooth medium roast, and the vitality mushroom coffee for clean energy and laser focus. No crash. All single origin, small batch, toxin-free and mold-free. Plus, you're also getting a gold spoon clip because freedom is not scooped with plastic, a frother strong enough to stir up your coffee and your mother-in-law's opinions, and a black 1775 tumbler. $170 worth of coffee in gear, yours for $99. This is for the ones who've been watching 1775 blow up on Rumble, wondering if it's actually worth it. Spoiler, it is. Go to 1775coffee.com/studio and grab your starter kit before they're gone. Bold beans. Clean fuel and a morning routine that stands for something just like Rumble does. And I just ordered some 1775 coffee. So we will see if Robbie is right about all that, but I bet he is. Questions, leftover question. What do we think about the cyber attack on Stryker by a supposedly Iranian affiliated hacker group? And what do you think about closed primaries? As an independent in Kentucky, I can't vote in any primaries. I'm in Massey's district and would vote for him if I was able to. I'm on team closed primaries. I don't think Republicans should be able to vote in a Democratic primary or vice versa, but I understand the problem.
I'm also for closed primaries, but in Virginia, we don't have party registration.
Mm.
So you register as a voter. And then when you walk in to the voting building, whatever it's called, they say, you want a Democratic ballot or you want a Republican ballot? And so if when Obama was running for reelection, what's the fun in just voting for an uncontested Obama? I said, give me the Republican ballot and I could, you know, vote against the person I hate the most.
Well, you're kind of making my case for closed, our case for closed ballot, yeah. Closed primaries there. Let's take this question. Al Resna, thanks for the $5 Canadian. Did Reagan's campaign reach out to the Iranians asking them to hold hostages to bash Carter in exchange for a better deal?
That's what Gary Sick said.
Looks like it.
Gary Sick was a Carter National Security Council senior director. He became a very important, very prominent professor at Columbia University. And Gary Sick coined the term October surprise. Mm-hmm. And Gary Sick maintained that the Reagan campaign through Bill Casey, who became CIA director, he was Reagan's campaign manager. He was in touch with the Iranians, asking the Iranians to not release the hostages until after the election.
Which they were only an hour or two after Reagan.
1 hour. As soon as Reagan put his hand in the air and took the oath of office, the hostages were released and were on a plane back home.
It certainly looked like that. And then, of course, there's also that incident during 1968's campaign when Richard Nixon's campaign allegedly reached out to the North Vietnamese and said, hey, you know, hang tight. Don't sign a peace deal with Johnson. You'll get a better deal from us, which, if true, was not true.
Treason.
To the North Koreans.
Yeah.
Both cases would be treason, right? Yeah. I mean, thanks for the $6.99, Andrew. Much appreciated. D-Kick, thanks for the $1.99. Is the mayor of New York's religion a problem in politics? Shouldn't be.
I don't think so.
Thanks for the high odds. Thanks for the $9.99. Did you happen to see that the New York Post said that an influencer stripper on Instagram is getting overwhelming messages from young soldiers scared to deploy next week? Sad to see.
I can't even begin to tell you how many young soldiers have reached out to me over the last couple of weeks saying, this is not what I signed up for.
Actually, it is. Sorry.
I referred one guy to Quaker House in North Carolina. They assist conscientious objectors. And we had a long conversation. I said, this is a tough decision, but you got to do what's in your heart.
I agree with that.
I mean, cards fall.
I have very little sympathy, though, John, because it's a fucking blank check. When you sign up with the military, they can send you to any fucking stupid war they want and kill you any stupid way they want. Don't do it. Like, you know, not under this government. Spell ICUP. Thanks for the $1.99. Okay, so we're going to have to leave the questions that remain until tomorrow. I promise you we will get to them early on the show tomorrow morning. And we're doing the Q&A show for the first time ever at 12 noon. Okay, so Ron DeSantis, John.
Oh, my God.
I love this part. It's going to be Palm Beach International. It'll be Donald J. Trump International Airport, not Palm Beach anymore. And I love this part. The Trump and his family have applied for trademarks that are pending for merchandise that will be sold to and about and for the airport, clothing for pets and dogs, bags, watches, jewelry, umbrellas, tie clips, socks. I don't know about steaks, but along with airport lounges will also be licensed. So there's going to be massive grift going on here. Will this stay like after Trumpism is no more? Will they just go back? Will they change the name back to like a sports stadium? Uh-oh. John is frozen. We will have to leave that there. The timing is perfect. If you have to be frozen, you might as well be frozen at the end of the show. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Oh, John, there you are.
Isaiah. John Kiriakou here. Lucy John, tells me.
Okay, I'm taking John out of there because he's on the phone. Please stay tuned. We will be coming up with TMI show with Ted Rall and Manila Chan right now. John Kiriakou will be back for a deep program tomorrow at 9 a.m. and at 12 noon tomorrow. So 2 hours of deep program. First hour is the regular show. Second hour at 12 noon is going to be Q&A. Thanks, everyone, and see y'all tomorrow. Bye.